talk about what their two schools are doing to honor the victims.
As a school, what we could do is something different. By praying for the victims, we could bring a great focus to the victims in this situation, and by prayers and unified prayer, we can be a powerful impact on the situation.
Police in Austin, Texas, believe there are some similarities in the three package explosions that happened earlier this month. Now, in two of the bombings, there were fatalities, and one, someone was seriously injured. Former Boston Police Chief Ed Davis says the one thing you need to be looking for right off the bat.
The first thing you take a look at is witnesses at the scene. This suspect's main vulnerability is that he's appearing at the scenes himself or having someone go there.
This is USA Radio News.
Want to refresh your wardrobe and home? Get to Kohl's Friends and Family Sale and take an extra 20% off with promo code FRIEND. With an extra 20% off, LC Lauren Conrad floral tops are just $23.99. Jumping Beans tees are only $6.40. And a KitchenAid Artisan Stand Mixer is $299.99. And you'll get $60 Kohl's Cash. A spring refresh for the family, Kohl's Cash for you, right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offers valid March 14th through 18th. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
One gauge of the U.S. economy continues a negative trend, as USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
Most components of the U.S. economy have been looking good lately, but retail sales keep falling. The Commerce Department reporting on Wednesday morning that retail sales fell 0.1% last month, when most analysts were expecting a 0.4% increase. February is the third straight month of declining sales, and it's the first time in almost 6 years that retail sales have declined for three consecutive months.
A girl whose dog died on a United flight says her mom pleaded with the flight attendant, but yet the flight attendant insisted on the dog being placed in the pet carrier in the overhead compartment. And now the flight attendant did later claim that she did not know there was a dog in the bag. ABC News legal analyst Dan Abrams says this is a very tricky situation.
If a flight attendant instructs you to do something, you're supposed to do it. Meaning we can't say on the one hand, when flight attendants tell you to do something, you need to do it. And then on the other hand say, well, you know what, if you think it's a really bad idea, you shouldn't do it. So as a legal matter, United has a problem here if she did instruct them knowing that there was a dog in the bag. So there's still some questions to be answered here.
Education Secretary Betsy DeVos suggested that CBS edited her comments on a recent 60 Minutes interview in which she seemed unprepared to answer questions about what she had done to improve national education. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Welcome to Talented People. Hope you're having a great day. Just want to give you an update on the weather forecast. Today is already March 14th, 2018. This afternoon, snow showers are likely mainly after 4 p.m., cloudy with a high near 39. Scattered rain and snow showers tonight before 8 p.m., and then a slight chance of snow showers between 8 and 10 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 25. Thursday, chance of showers again after 2 in the afternoon, partly sunny with a high of 45. Chance of rain and showers mixed with snow after 7 p.m. on Thursday night, gradually ending, partly cloudy with a low of 25. Then mostly sunny all day on Friday, high of 37. Mostly clear with a low around 23 on Friday night. Sunny all day with a high near 42 on Saturday, partly cloudy with a low of 26. And then Sunday, it's going to be sunny all day with a high of 48. So we're going to go to our quick break, and then we're going to get back to our conversation. And it's going to be with Eileen N. Sinette, author of Speaking That Connects, and the leader in how to get your audience to really get engaged with you by the way that you present. Stay with us.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, just checking to see if this is streaming correctly because it is kind of new to us. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Thank you so much for listening in and watching us on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, streaming on Facebook. Talented people, and my guest today is Eileen Ensenette, and she's here. She's been on the show before, but you've probably heard her and just never got to see her before. So now she's here today to tell us what she's been up to. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Eileen, and thank you for being here today.
Thanks, Jeannie. Wow, it's interesting, the audio. So I am a speech coach and presentation coach, and I've been in business over 30 years. And my mission is to raise the bar on presentations because so many people can do better and present at their best. So I have a background in the speech arts and the speech sciences, and I work with professionals, individual entrepreneurs, and business to business, corporations, nonprofits.
Right. So when, honestly, what a great job you must have, because I know, you know, I know I can't speak for anything. There's just like no chance, but it is a skill. And
you're
like
speaking all the time.
Yeah, but I'm not, I'm just like talking. Okay. To stand up in front of a room and say something. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I start talking fast. I have no blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Forget it. No, believe me. This is not anything like that. When you're, it's kind of funny though, because like me being in PR marketing and stuff, everywhere I go, I always notice something about PR marketing, right? So when you're talking to almost anybody, you're probably constantly like, it's like you're thinking about your profession, which is your skill sets.
And you make a good point. Speaking to one person or speaking to a family or speaking to a group you're very comfortable with, or sitting in a meeting at a board or with an internal department, is a different kind of speaking than speaking standing in front of an audience on stage when you are the front and center person and you have all the information to share. It's not a 50-50 conversation.
Not at all. And I mean, honestly, I know everybody out there is like going, I know I've seen people who just stink at it, right? Like they just... They don't can keep attention. Mm-hmm. This is your show.
Okay. I think people do a pretty average job. Most of the people do an average job. Some people do a poor job, and some people do a great job. Mm-hmm. But the numbers on the great side,
they're very
low. Right, they're not high. And it's interesting because I feel people are interesting, and if they had the skill sets and they had the training early enough, soon enough, appropriate enough to the time where they need to present, they would do a much better job, and the audience, not just the speaker, would feel more satisfied. Because I think, to your point, the audiences are very polite. We've learned to tolerate a pretty medium-level bar when it comes to speakers. Think about the business people who go from meeting to meeting to meeting, and their presentations with slide decks. And the statistics are 50% of what you heard is lost within an hour after you leave a meeting. And these are back-to-back, on the run, eating your sandwich between meetings, handling phone calls. There's got to be a better way.
Right.
So that's what I'm about, trying a better way or giving a tool set to build confidence and skill sets. So we produce better speakers that don't have to be top in the world, mm-hmm. but the best that a person can be. They don't have to wing it. Mm-hmm. They don't have to tell a joke in order to start a presentation just because someone else started a joke mm-hmm. and they were and it got a good laugh.
Right.
So there are skills to learn, and I call this program of skills 4 points of connection.
Okay, 4 points of connection.
Right.
What does that mean?
Yeah, after 30-some years of looking at everything I do, I realized I had a model, but I never labeled it as a model. And the four areas that are really critical to producing a presentation and engaging an audience have to do with knowing your audience, mm-hmm. or at least reflecting upon that audience. And that could mean, is this audience five people? Is this audience five hierarchical people? Are they gender balanced? Are they your age group? People are very reactive to different kinds of audiences. Is it a stage audience? Are you speaking in the round? How much time will you be sharing with your audience? These are all these audience questions that...
That's really, really, really informative, just so you know. I never even thought about it, ever. I never thought about it, like, to sit down and think. I do know my audience, normally. You know what I mean? So I get that. But, like, to actually sit down and think about it.
It's,
yeah, no, no. I've never had a checklist, and it could probably, that's one of the first solutions to the big problem.
to prepare a speech for an audience that's technically oriented to presentations is a different speech than to people who have no knowledge at all. So similarly, say a scientist preparing a presentation for cancer researchers, and all the audience is into cancer research, he can be very, very technical and get there pretty soon. But if in that audience you have a few other types, families of cancer patients who have no medical or research knowledge, or caretakers of another sort, or perhaps phlebotomists, or, you know, physical therapists, then you have a more diverse audience, and even if the weight is towards your subject matter, the audience is more aligned with your subject matter, you still have to break it down in a way that more of the audience could digest. So really getting, like, down and dirty and understanding your audience is a reflective process, maybe a checklist process, but something that helps drive the next step, which the second point would be your messaging or your content. So you're going to present on a subject, but you know so much more than you can speak about. Think about the average keynote or the average conference presenter or the average internal corporate presentation. We're talking a half an hour to an hour, usually, sometimes less.
I hope so. An hour is a long time for a keynote, isn't it?
For a keynote, it is. Yeah. But for a training.
No. Presidents, I mean, hey, you know, you're there and you've got to go with it. So
and training can be an hour, can be 2 hours.
Hours and hours. Yeah.
So different kinds of preparation or for messaging is important because you know your subject doesn't mean you have to tell everything about your subject. What does this particular audience need from you as a subject expert today? So you don't go into the details that won't matter to them.
What's that number two called?
Messaging. Right.
That's huge too.
It's the content part.
Right.
It's the organization. It's the key message. It's the core around which you find your proof for that message, your examples. If it's training, the engagement for your people. So messaging is important in marketing.
Sure.
It's important in public relations and advertising. And all messages are not necessarily the core message. And building your presentation around one key message is a best practice than supporting it with some other sub-messages or pillars, usually three.
Wow. All right, hold on. We're going to go to our break. It's already 3:14 in the afternoon, 38 degrees outside. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People on March 14th. I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Eileen N. Sinet. You can look her up. Her book is called Speaking That Connects, leads you back to her website. She's available if you need personal, individualized coaching and training to be a speaker. It will affect your career and everything else. And stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I don't. Hold on. All right, here we are back on Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And our guest is Eileen Ensenette, and she's here talking about her program, and her book is called Speaking That Connects. So go back and tell us about your four-point program.
Yeah, 4 points of connection. So okay. I realized that after years of doing coaching and training and having modules on this and that, it coalesced, and I realized it's a program that has a model, and the model is 4 points of connection. And I started before our break with the audience, and we went into messaging and how to build a presentation, or how to think about building a presentation in terms of a core message and three pillars of support. And there's two more points, probably pretty important ones. So. Body language is a lot of people's concern. How do I come across? I'm standing up, they're sitting down, people are looking at me, people are staring at me, I'm uncomfortable, I'm not comfortable in my own skin, front and center isn't my thing, I'm an introvert, blah, 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 blah. So there is something in terms of the connection to your physical self. Those are really easy to learn skills.
Really?
Easy to learn, very behavioral. It's like you can learn how to hold a racket for tennis differently than you might naturally do it, or to do, you know, to execute a stroke, or golf, if that's your preference. You can learn how to do something differently with your body, because we naturally do what we naturally do.
Right.
But unless you're in front of a group, or you're a model, or an actor, or a singer perhaps, you're not as conscious of your presence, or your physical movements.
Interesting.
You know,
sure.
The audience would be observing. Mm-hmm. So that makes people uneasy. So the third connection is your connection to your physical self, which is basically behavior. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference between getting up from your seat and talking and walking to the stage or to the front of the boardroom versus getting up from your seat and walking in silence and getting to the front of the room and then talking. It's a little thing, but it can have a very strong impact. One shows more control. One doesn't, say, block your message, because as you're getting up, movement and talking, who are you directing the talking to? Nobody, because the audience isn't in front of you at that moment. So learning how to walk, stand still, because when you're nervous, sometimes you're fidgety.
Oh, yeah, spinning back and forth at the
leaning,
TV station, you know,
right.
All the time they spin. And I'm like, stop spinning.
Right, so that's...
But what you said, there was something that was interesting about shows, something like professionalism, whatever
control.
You said. Control, like, yeah, as in a, you know, the person who's being spoken to, I'm like all about watching how they're going to handle this. You know what I mean? And it's like either win, pass or fail within a second and a half of watching someone get up there, you know?
It's pretty true that we make opinions and right away, you know, within a 30-second, one-minute window, we are sure, not sure, you know, on the fence. But at the same time, we've learned how to be polite audiences.
Right.
So we stretch.
We give them our
we have a knee-jerk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then we say...
Here's your lifeline.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see. Let's give it a little more space. And so...
So interesting.
Control is a big part of it. You're controlling your audience. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second. You're controlling your message because you've planned it. And to switch gears midstream is something you should not do because you've spent a lot of hours putting this together. Mm-hmm. And if you've targeted the audience and the messaging right, derailing, it's not a good thing. So you have a control of what you've prepared. It's actually, you know, an assist to you that you have a outline, or your slides reflect an outline, or just the planning tool of making this speech, knowing it's 20 minutes, knowing where you're going to begin, knowing how you're going to end. It's a kind of support.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're back to your physical self, the standing, the walking, but as important as being anchored in front of a group as if you were with a spotlight on you, right? So you would want to be in a space to start, is your eye contact.
Oh.
So your eye contact is important to ground the connection with your audience. It's grounding of your stance that shows you the control,
mm-hmm.
but then to control the audience, you really engage individuals with your eyes.
How do you engage people with your eyes and not forget what you're talking about? Because that just seems hard to do. I mean, they give you all these ideas, look around, look above their head, don't look them in the eye because they don't know the difference, which I totally believe they do, but it just seems like it, and especially because you're talking about someone comes to you for your services, wants to learn how to speak better. Mm-hmm. I want you to talk about all those reasons that people need to have your training because it really does affect your income, everything else you got going. Mm-hmm. But back to the point, just being, how do you do that?
Multitask.
Yeah, and eye contact.
And public speaking does involve some multitasking. Mm-hmm. So best to prepare with enough time, mm-hmm. and have a strong flow and storyline to your presentation. So it becomes more automatic, especially with a little bit of practice.
Okay.
You know, of pre-audience situation, knowing what you're going to say, mm-hmm. and practicing it. So that becomes automatic, just like writing your name becomes automatic. You don't have to think, I'm going to go up and make or turn this way to make a J, and then I'm going to loop to make an E,
right.
and then I'm going to curve to make an A.
That's interesting.
You don't think that way. You just right. know because you've done it enough, and it becomes second nature. So your messaging, after a practice and having spent hours putting this together, should be second nature. So you can trust that and then focus on the audience because it's now passing the ball. If the ball is the message, you've been dealing with this ball for a while. But now it's time to share that. And you have to share it with individuals. And it's like passing the message or pieces of your message to different people in the room. Of course, the next question people will ask is, well, what if I'm speaking to 1,000 people? There's no way I'm going to see 1,000 individual sets of eyes. And that's absolutely true. That's pretty impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, and I say it this way, divide that space into an imaginary tic-tac-toe board.
Oh, that's cool.
And have 9...
Very visual.
Very visual.
Yeah.
Have 9 areas of visual connection. And look far left, look center, look close right, look far right, mid right, mid left, etc. And from a stage particularly, because when you're doing 1,000 people, most likely you're on a stage.
Right.
The audience gets the feel of your talking to that section, which feels like you personally.
Right. Yeah, it's like you're in the vicinity, you get a little credit for that. You don't have to be I and I, but yeah. But then if you have a real small group, five people.
You want to include everybody. You want to include everybody, and up to even 20 people in the audience. My goal for my clients and myself is that you look at each person at least once in a 20-minute presentation. And you might sometimes miss somebody, but the goal, you know, you want to ace every shot, but you can't always do that.
Right.
But it is a goal.
So when someone comes to you and they are looking for your work, your services, tell us all about that.
How do people find me?
Well, not you can tell everybody how would people find you is a good thing, a good place to start. But then we'll just, like, say someone knocked on the door and said, hey, I was watching the show, and I want to talk to you because I really need... Tell us about a typical day in your life when someone comes along and says...
Okay, so it usually will happen with an email or a phone call.
Okay.
Someone might see an advertisement. Someone might have gotten my number from someone else. The call comes, and they say, I heard about you. I have a need. I want to improve my presentation. I work for a certain company. Or I'm doing a fundraiser, I'm the CEO of a nonprofit, or I'm anxious about speaking and I take medication just in case because my heart races too much. All right, so it's an intake on the phone. We'll talk about 10 minutes. I want to get a feel for that person. I want to give them something, you know, and then I also want them to consider coming in as a client, or at least for a first meeting.
Right.
So some kind of initial assessment.
And when you have different, like you have like parents who have hired you for their kids, right? Like, tell us about, like, I mean, we know that a corporation, as an example, I know someone who needs your services right now because the person just got promoted recently and has a huge responsibility, but never really had to make presentations to their group, like,
right,
they will now,
right?
And I know that the person is just completely freaked out about it, you know, getting over that.
Well,
and making sure that they're good at it is the most important reason to get your services.
So if a person is anxious about it, we got to handle that inner self connection first. So we had talked about the audience and the message and a little bit about the physical self with the grounding and the walking and the standing and the eye contact. There's more to it than that. But then the inner self is what you're talking about. People that are nervous, people that are unsure, just like, tell me what to do, or how do I make this better? That's their inner thought process or their feelings or their beliefs, such as, I'm never going to be a good public speaker, I know that. I'm going to fall flat on my face. I'm going to forget what I have to say. Wiring that could be a result of a situation where they didn't do well, or just their lack of confidence or sense of not being so strong at this skill.
How long does it take for you to help someone in general? Like, how long does a customer normally retain you for?
So, assuming there's no deep trauma, and there have been, related to public speaking, we're not going to go there in this moment.
Completely, yes.
But assuming that it's the average person who had training in college, one class, but not since, and never had to do a presentation until now, is up for a promotion, or could get a job because they can do a good presentation, I would say 8 hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
2 hours a week or every other week, because what would happen is after the rapport of getting to know that person, we'd start working on their presentation, point by point, connection by connection, and rehearse it. So 4 would be the minimum, I would say. You know, I can't really say it's the minimum. 4 to 6 is average. Some people, depending upon the length of their presentation, it could be 6 sessions.
So would someone who, just talking individuals, then we'll go to like corporations and lunch and learns and all that stuff. But like if I knew that I was that CEO of a nonprofit and that I was going to be speaking at this event coming up in the gala or whatever, and I knew what I wanted to say, and you were starting to give me help, direction, would I be practicing and telling you my presentation and you'd be critiquing it and telling me what I could do better? Or how do you work that way?
Yeah, so how do I work? So there's two ways. Sometimes a person comes in and they want to rehearse their presentation. They've already put it together. And
that sounds like a very valuable service, by the way. Really, not joking.
Well, thank you. And some people think it's pretty good what they've done.
Yeah.
They just want their delivery and their engagement to be pumped up a little bit.
Smart person.
Sometimes it's fine, and that's what they get, and it's great, and they go, and it's 1 2-hour session, 3-hour session out the door. Sometimes it's like, I'm not sure that the plan that you came up with, which is not what they asked me for, is solid. You're kind of going around in a lot of different directions. Can we look at the planning, the schematic behind it? How do you organize this? So they wanted body language and presence and audience connection. They got those tools, eye contact, asking questions, stance, credibility. They get that. But then I might say, you know, you don't really have an ending on this. Or you don't really have a beginning.
Interesting.
An opening.
Right.
It would be more powerful. Or your slides have so many graphs and tags, I don't know where to look. We either have to animate some to fade out, or we need to reduce the amount or circle the key point that you're trying to make on this slide. It's not as strong or as easy for the audience to digest your message when they're trying to read a bunch of facts and figures.
Right.
They're not listening.
No, right. And they're already going to lose 50% of it anyway, so what are you doing? So what do you think about when people, say someone had, 45 minutes. And
to speak?
Yes.
Okay.
And they haven't done it in front of you or whatever. It's like first or second time.
Right.
And they get up and everybody's like dying to see. Doesn't matter what size crowd. And then they talk about themselves for like 15 minutes. And then they get into do you help with that? Because to me, I'm just either bought or lost. Like I know you said everybody else is too. So fast. And I need it to get to the point.
Right. So some people spend too much time at the front end introducing themselves or by giving their bio. And interesting, you like burn out on that. But there are other people in the audience that are pretty okay with it and they're not being polite. It's sort of they're going to listen to this person. So you always have a diverse audience.
Oh, it's just an interesting question. It's a great answer.
But I'm more like you. And we have to take a break.
No. I'm only laughing. I'm just calling myself a badass because I don't have any patience. But that's why.
And sometimes that's a warm-up for the speaker because they can talk about themselves. But what's more valuable to the audience is something creative. And storytelling is one of those tools.
Let's hear.
And it doesn't have to be that you're a great storyteller. What I use as storytelling is an opening, anecdotal, personal, relevant to the key message. So if the key message is on spending money before something breaks down, so that's often a concept in companies, it's like, how do we...
Preventive maintenance type of thing.
Preventive maintenance. Mm-hmm. How do we allocate? We don't have $1 million to do a new IT renovation. Well, what are the consequences of that, right? So instead of talking about IT and all the nuts and bolts that have to go with this idea of spending money, the audience will be interested if you have a little anecdote that demonstrates how you had an opportunity to spend big money, turned it down, bought something cheaper, and then was sorry. And then you can bridge.
That's cool. I love people that do speak like that. You can just picture those successful, interesting speakers that you respect because they do that. They start off with something a little bit off and throws you, and then all of a sudden they start telling you about what they're talking about, but it makes sense to us.
It makes sense for a couple of reasons. It's very human. Mm-hmm. And we are, as human beings, hardwired for story. We follow story. It's just, it gets pulled from our humanness.
That's so cool. Have expert in the studio here right now talking about speaking that connects with people on our four
Point of connection.
Her name is Eileen Ensenet, and you can find her online. She does all kinds of work. If you're interested, if you have someone that is interested, or if you have a group and you want to have them have some training on how to speak better, groups, individuals, it's so interesting. Keep going. I'm just letting everybody know what we're doing here.
So I'm not sure where to go next. So there are different ways people use me. Like I said, individuals might say, I want to have more engagement and I want a better opening. Give mm-hmm. me, a, you know, and we work in just those little pieces. Mm-hmm. There are other people that say, I want a soup to nuts makeover or raise the bar on my ability to be the best speaker that I can be. And I can be employed by companies for their groups or individuals, or periodically I do some public programs, which I am doing in mm-hmm. April and May.
Let's hear. Go ahead, tell.
Okay, so 4 Points of Connection is a class in April for 2-hour sessions, group, but people from any adult is open to check out the website under workshops, speakingthatconnects.com/workshops. So 4 evenings, 2 hours each evening, Wednesday nights, April 2018. We will go through the 4 points, and you will get tips, you will do work, and you will have practice being in front of a group. Mm-hmm. So you can work your outer skills, your physical skills, as well as your internal dialogue and whatever else is going on for you.
Wow.
And then again, the same program for those people who like immersion rather than continuous process, it's going to be a 1 day, so it'll be a Saturday from morning to mid-late afternoon on May 12th. So that's like a one-shot. And then there's an upsell if anyone wants within the next 30 days to work one-on-one.
Oh, nice.
Reduced pricing for one-on-one.
Okay, good. So if you know of someone out there who needs a little help speaking, I'm sure you know a lot of people who do, then you know how to get in touch with Eileen. So I do think that's important. We're going to go to a break real quick because most times people who are out there, managers need to have the support for their staff because the staff person may feel kind of awkward asking the boss for special training on something that they would expect. But the boss can say, I want you to have a little bit of extra training because you're in front of my customers. It doesn't even mean necessarily being in front of a group. Just being able to present and connect with anybody in your sales department or anything else, right?
Absolutely.
I think that's so important. Okay. So we're going to go to a break again. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. My guest is Eileen Sinet. We're here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
A college education, you don't have to go into debt before you even begin.
The actual price of a college education today could cost more than $200,000. Even if you don't qualify for financial need-based assistance, Premier College Funding can help you and your family cut college costs and find efficient ways to pay for college.
Call 908-788-3799 for a free consultation or visit us online at premiercollegefundingllc.com. Getting a college degree doesn't have to break the bank.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. How are you? Hope you're having a great day. My guest is Eileen Ensenette. She's actually in the, what is it, Mercer County?
Oh, I think it's the tip of Middlesex.
Middlesex. Okay. She services Hunterdon County, though, if you're out there listening. If you're in Central Jersey or anywhere around the state, pharma companies, she's got a lot of different clients over the years that she's helped to perfect their speaking and the ability to connect with their audience. This is her program. It's called 4 Points of Connection. And she was just going over a couple of the points. And then she was telling us about some of the places that she's going to be having events open. But I wanted to let you know that she is available. So if you know of someone who needs to have their speaking skills perfected, she does individuals. If you have an organization that you want your team to be better at their connections with their board members, their customers, whoever it is, she can come in and do small groups. And then again, if you have, of course, your leadership team always needs to be perfecting their skills, especially as I think, when I think about those in the leadership place, they go from never standing up in front of people to really, like you said, connecting and even getting the job by their presentation skills of being hired. Mm-hmm. Now they've got the job and they've got the responsibility to stand in front of a group. And there's usually a hard learning curve, right? To be able to do that with confidence. And like you say, in your 4 points, review them again.
Audience.
Yeah, audience.
Message.
Message.
Your physical self.
Your physical self.
And your inner self, which we really didn't talk too much
Let's
about.
Let's go ahead. We have some time.
Well, that's, to me, probably the deepest part of the training, because people are fearful for a variety of reasons. And the most common that isn't so personal is that they didn't get training soon enough. But other people have their own thoughts and beliefs. Like I mentioned, they might not feel they'll ever be a good speaker. So they can learn skills. I can teach them all those skills. But if you believe that you're never going to be good in front of a group and you think you're going to fail, you're not going to do the best job.
You're going to fail.
You
can picture it.
So you work with people's belief systems or attitudes or mindsets. And the exercise that you were referencing on our break is a nonverbal exercise that has to do with connection without words, which helps create presence.
Give them an example of that, because she spoke at Raritan Valley Community College and she had a presentation there. And my sister actually was there with me, and Colleen Kelly, my business partner. And you share a little bit about that, because it was like we walked away like we had been in another universe. Like we learned so much. It was only like an hour and a half long too, right?
Well, we didn't do the exercise for an hour and a half. But
No. It was only like 5 minutes or something, right? Three minutes? 1 minute? Yeah.
So this is so cool. So it's related to eye contact, but it's a much deeper. You know how the windows, or your eyes are your windows to your soul, mm-hmm. right? So rather than thinking of the physical eye, think of the spirit behind the eye, right? So it's interesting when you look at, say, a podium, or when you look at a book, or look at a painting on the wall. It's no big deal to look at that. You just look at it. But when you look at another person, what happens? People start saying, she's staring at me, or I don't want
to. You start feeling weird.
But you're just looking. Mm-hmm. You're just taking in information, just like I'm reading Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce behind you. I'm looking at a sign. I'm processing the sign. I'm looking at you. I'm processing you, but I'm not speaking with you. I'm just physically sharing a space with you. And to do that in silence is so unusual.
It's wild.
It's called sometimes a relationship meditation, but I don't want to scare away your listeners.
Oh, no, they need to know about this because this is something so positive because you will learn something about yourself if you actually, you know, retain her services, get in touch with her, or just watch her, just try it. You really learn something about yourself, and I love that. They love that.
There can be a transformational kind of aha that happens. Though, as I mentioned, you're taking in a picture, you're taking in a person, but because that person is alive and you're alive, your brain goes into, hey, I don't want to stare at, or I don't want to be stared at, and there's a lot more mental chatter agitation going on than just hanging out and taking in. And that 30 seconds for some people is like torture.
Oh my God.
And it's awkward, and people start laughing because I don't think we're used to being silent and in connection at the same time.
Which I will say, that what was it about pausing that connects with the audience, that kind of thing, where you're not speaking?
Exactly.
Can be more impactful.
Right. So this is a kind of exercise that works from the inside out on your presence. And it's similar to, it's a silent exercise, but it's not quite pausing, but it is silence. And pausing and silence are important to your physical delivery because it's a vocal skill. You basically turn off the voice and then you have pause. But I want you to think of something, and this may really be an aha for your audience.
Okay.
When we were kids, we went to school, and we learned to read and write every single day. We learned a letter and what it sounded like and how to put it next to another letter, a squiggle, and it made a syllable, made a sound, made a word, blah, 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 blah. And we learned how to read, and then we learned how to write. But we never, and we always had rules. The rules were you can't start at the top left of the corner of the page. You have to space down, right? A couple line spaces. What is that called? It's a margin.
Right.
You have to indent, space, period, end space, right? Paragraph, line space. We learn you can't put all the words across the full page because it's hard to read. It's not good writing. It's not good for the readership. Okay, now what's my point? We never learned how to speak and listen.
No, I was going to say that is exactly the same thing. We didn't learn how to speak, though. And also, not only read and write, speak and hear. And so, like you're saying, there's no training there.
There's no training. So there's this imbalance, and then you get to be asked to do a public speech, and you don't know. But getting back to the pause, we need silence in our delivery, which is a physical skill, our vocal delivery, to break up the continuous verbal messaging so that the audience really focuses on what's key. And so the speaker also delivers what's key. I know airtime's important, but...
No, I totally get it.
Stopping speaking or pausing is a use of silence as a tool that actually engages audience or can re-engage an audience if they start multitasking, getting their phone, tuning out, having sidebars. It's a normal thing because it's not traditional for listeners to listen 20 minutes or more without having anything to say.
Right.
It stretches your listening attention.
Interesting.
So pausing is like letting someone digest. It's also, depending upon where you put it, if you do it intentionally, can highlight what word comes next. So let me tell you this. You're waiting to know.
Right.
Let me tell you this. I'm going to have blah, 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 blah. It works, but when I stop, your ears perk up.
It's like turning a light switch on or off in the middle of when it just shakes you up a little bit.
It's a little bit.
It brings you back into the, like you said, you're taking it in, but it brings you back to the energy that you have to listen to what's going to be next.
Right. So silence can enhance words. And silence is to speaking what margins are to writing, or what physical space is
so cool.
to writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it verbal white space.
Cool.
It is white space.
Yeah.
And it's not like you just do it any place. You really need to have a rationale, you know, and it's okay to stop. For example, if you forget what you're going to say.
That happens to me all the time. What's the answer?
Stop. Don't keep on trying to talk through it with what you don't know. Or if it's not coming to you after you stop, then say, I'm having a hard time finding what word I was looking for. And then it usually pops up.
Right. But when you're speaking, I mean, how completely embarrassing is that?
Well, the thing is, it's embarrassing because we're labeling it embarrassing. What if we said forgetfulness once in a while is not, it's okay.
Yeah.
So you do, you forget. And you
I'm just
forward.
Picturing if I were standing up in front of a group of people and I forgot what I was going to say, that would be it. I would just be like, just let me get out of here. Period. You know what I mean? I'm not, if I were watching someone else, like you said, I have a lot more of a long rope, you know, go ahead. I would feel bad for them and hope that it just works out and laugh. Like it wouldn't matter.
We're always rooting for the person on stage
yeah.
underneath
yeah.
it all.
Right.
We're all that
yes.
little kid who, you know, is doing their first recital.
Yes.
You know, it's like we're the
yes.
parents.
Well, the minute that I see someone stand up where I know that they're going to be speaking, I start to get concerned for them. I just do. I bet everybody else is the same way. But it is funny because I love it when they do a great job.
It's
just not that often. So I just want to ask you to give us a couple examples of some success stories that you've seen happen over. Do you have any in your head that you're just like, I'm so proud of what I did with this guy or woman?
Well, there was a woman who does presentations internally, but never on a big stage, professional. And she also is a very creative personality, but she didn't really know how to do her presentation that creatively. So her area was a pretty dry technical area. And she was going to be on stage in front of an international audience. And so the messaging...
That's scary.
And the messaging had to do about... speed of delivery, of services, of being the first, etc. And so the big success was, instead of, hi, my name is, and I'm here from, and I'm going to talk to you about speed of delivery, the opening slide was a sports car. Now, this is not a car business, an industry. So the audience is seeing a Ferrari or something, an Austin Healey, something really slick with nothing there other than that. And she tells a story of her own, an anecdote
mm-hmm.
in terms of getting lost and finding your way, which had to do a lot with the messaging that had to do with this particular
cool.
presentation.
That's cool.
And it was a win. It was a wonderful win. And we worked collaboratively, so she could push back and say, I don't really like that. I need something a little more classier or something like that. So I thought that was a really strong win. She was already a good presenter, but it was a very...
Take it to another level,
yeah.
bigger audience. How long in advance of an event do you need to be able to give them that kind of an upgrade in their speaking?
So I think we worked two-hour sessions, and spaced them 2 weeks apart, so about a month for something that's very big like that. I had another, you know, sometimes the breakthroughs are so simple, like changing the order of a slide.
Sure. Yeah, we're dropping down the bullet points and all the activity, like you said, you just get lost. You don't even hear the presentation because you're too busy reading or something.
Right, and sometimes, so those two had to do with slides. Let me think about...
We only have a minute and a half, and I want to make sure...
For the whole show.
Yeah, our show's already over in a minute and a half, but I wanted everybody out there to know, you know, don't forget. You mentioned this early to me today. You said... that in college you had like one class that normally that college students have like one class in their entire 4 years on speaking. So graduation's coming up and you can actually retain the services of Eileen one-on-one for maybe your college graduate as a gift for their graduation. I think that's a cool idea. It's kind of just like what's next after they still have to go get a job. They need to figure out how to do that interview well by doing what you're talking about, 4 points of connection.
Yeah. So, you know, people that have to interview, whether they're in transition or whether it's a first job or a college interview, mm-hmm. people that are interviewing for promotion, people that are doing conference presentations, people that are doing leadership organization, speaking for a chamber.
Retreat things.
Retreats, mm-hmm. just a meeting presentation. Mm-hmm. It's a developmental opportunity. It doesn't mean because you do it average that you can't be better.
Right.
It's everything is continuous improvement. Mm-hmm. So will everybody be exactly the same? Never. Mm-mm. Give the same presentation to five people. You'll have five different versions like thumbprints.
Well, it was the same thing when we had the Paint the View and they were all painting the view and they all came back completely different. I would love that. You're right about that, speaking. All right, so anyway, I'm Jeannie Murphy. Last words.
Raise the bar on your own speaking and satisfy yourself and your audience.
Great advice. All right, I'm Jeannie Murphy again, Talented People. Thanks so much for watching in this week and have a great week.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.